You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 82 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dio Morales, and today I'm joined by the entire state of Ohio. Sorry, Iowa.
Ohio?
Oh my God. Whoa. I'm starting the whole thing over again. Nobody will ever know unless you watched live that I totally screwed that.
Wow. You know. From the state. I don't know what to do with that.
Oh, wrecked. Oh my God. At least I did it early. All right, let's try again.
Ohio's not even close.
I know.
So
sorry.
You could have called us Idaho or something. At least it's something we've heard.
I know. This is episode 82 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dio Morales, and today I'm joined by the entire state of Iowa. First being our very own William, actually has lucky gray beanie Hakewood.
Yeah, sure is lucky.
Aaron the Coach Kroll.
Hello, everyone, and good evening.
And Brad X-Wing Santa Claus, I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name.
Stryzik. But hey, thanks for having me.
No problem. I mean, it looks a lot more complicated than just Stryzik. Like, I can say Stryzik.
It doesn't help that you don't have the R in there.
Oh.
There it is. So today, we're going to be talking about X-Wing leagues. We're going to talk about, you know, ways you can start them. Are they a good idea for your community? Maybe you guys aren't ready yet. Maybe you are. How do I do it? When? Where? How? We're just going to that's our topic today. We're going to be spending some time on it. Now, before we jump into that, let's talk about some of our upcoming live streams. Every Wednesday from 5 p.m. Central Time till about 11:30-ish, we have our league night stream, so you guys can join us there. All those games are uploaded to our YouTube channel, and those are coming out about every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are the releases for that, if you're catching those on YouTube. Big events coming up. We have the Minock Open. Gold Squadron Podcast is the official stream of the Minock Open. That's happening November 3rd and 4th. So not this weekend, but the weekend after that. And then we have... I forgot to go through my slides here. We got information from Cascade Games, like a couple hours ago, and that is that they've announced a couple of the system opens that they're going to be doing here, and they specifically noted that it was the first part of the 2019 FFG Premier Play season. So that kind of assumes that they're probably going to have, there's going to be more to come. We're at least getting that first chunk there. I'll go ahead and zoom in for anybody who's watching live. There we go. So you see there's Philadelphia, Phoenix, Toronto, Chicago, Denver, Atlanta, and Seattle. And I will be at every single one of those streaming live for you guys, except maybe Toronto. There's some issues with crossing the border and making money. So we'll see, because I'm considered a business now, all that stuff. So, but yeah. So super excited about that. Looking forward to meeting all the people in those cities and broadcasting that for you guys live. Also, patrons. We've been talking about it. We smashed the goal of 400 patrons in order to do the overseas trip, and it's happening, okay? So the call for suggestions is officially live. I'm going to be posting the link on Facebook after we're done with this live show. It'll also be in the description of this video and in the description box of the podcast. And in there, you can give me suggestions for where to go. If you're in that country, you can provide me some information like what's the local airport, what big events are coming up, just giving me as much information as you can. If you're willing to host me, can I sleep on your couch? Can my family come with me? This is all information that kind of just helps me plan. Because I know I need to take my wife to at least one of these trips. And honestly, I would really like to parlay this overseas thing into like maybe covering multiple events overseas, like in a row, if possible. So again, there's a lot of planning going on. Help me out and give me that information. It super helps. And there was something else. Shout out.
Take her to Ohio.
I should take her to Ohio. I mean, she's from Ohio, so... We go to Ohio all the time, which is why the blooper reel, which I might add at the end of this in post, happened. Anyway, Shout out to our new patrons. Thank you to Nick Brown, Jason Waters, Luke Bunnell, Simon Bradstrom, Lars Lennon, Emre Kovac, and John Grimes. Thank you guys so much. Welcome to the Gold Squadron Patreon group. You guys are fantastic. And speaking of you guys, let's talk about some swaggity swag. Okay, so our upcoming card set is officially announced. Here's the spoilers for it. We're going to be doing the updated version of the Duchess and Cassian two-card set. See the Death Star in the background and the water. We're also going to be sending you guys out the Trandoshan Slaver and a mystery card. You guys really liked the mystery card last time, which was Boba Fett, if you guys didn't see that. People who are not patrons, was a super awesome card. And we're doing a mystery card again. It was a lot of fun, a lot of excitement built up there. So super pumped for that. Let's get into it, guys. X-Wing Leagues, all right? So let's just go around the horn. And why do you guys think X-Wing Leagues are important?
I can start because we're just wrapping up our league here in Clinton, Iowa. So we started a league basically right when second edition was announced. We had a lot of first edition players, a lot of newer players just getting into the game, kind of joining the community that was local to us. And we decided that it would be a way to keep the community as a whole as we're transitioning into second edition. So we were playing all first edition throughout the league, but in my opinion, it was to not separate the two objectives of some people who wanted to start playing second edition right away and those who were a little hesitant and questioning if they were going to transition into second edition. So we're able to still keep the community tight and be able to offer up suggestions to those who were a little hesitant about jumping right into second edition.
Coach?
We have been doing leagues for quite a while. This last actual year was a little hectic for us, mainly because our store moved and we had a bunch of new stuff going on. But we usually do season leagues. So it's quarter one, two, three, and four. It really helps out with store owners, especially me, when you can offer a kit per league. That's kind of what I did. Most of my league or kit prizes were I divvied up into league prizes plus my own stuff. I usually gave a bunch of free ships away for if we hit this many people. But it was usually our leagues consisted of every Sunday you played three games. Those three games went towards your scores. But I also left it open where you can make up your games whenever you want. But I thought especially for us, the leagues were key to building more people into the community because one, you had a set day. Like Sunday was our X-Wing day. If I was ever to tell anyone, and also any of our league players, like if you ever want to check it out, just go Sunday. Like it is a guarantee there's going to be X-Wing there. And so it was a really helpful thing to have it on a specific day that a bunch of people could make. And so that helped ours grow into a bigger community. And it also helped that a bunch of the veteran guys knew that we need some new blood in here. So they're just like, I always gave away free ships as tournament prizes. Mm-hmm. If you won the tournament, you got a free small base ship. Well, they ended up doing where they'd win a tournament and they're like, I got enough ships. And they give it to the guy who got last place or second to last place or who needed this ship or something like that. So cool. The community just fed off of each other. And then that in turn turned like the second gen in our leagues into the third gen because they started doing the same thing. So it was just a big, huge cycle of people, you know, learning the game, getting good, getting the pieces they need, then turning right around and getting new people. And it just fed off each other. And that's what our leagues were really doing. I'm currently in the planning stages of getting our next league off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be way, way too much stuff that I can handle, but I think it's going to be super fun. So
it's good. It happens. It happens. Yeah. Brad, I was talking to Will, and I guess you're actually on the brink of starting a new league. Am I right about that?
Yeah. Over in Dubuque, we're pretty much a pretty new community in the X-Wing, I guess, just whole. Most of our group started in about March of 2017. So we have about 12 to 15 consistent players. And in that time until now, we were just learning the game, you know, just playing normally. And we never decided to do a league. But right now we have two of our local players, Michael and Evan, both working with each other to find the best pretty much opportunity to put a league together. And all of our players seem like they want to do it and we're excited for it, but we haven't actually started it yet.
Fantastic. Yeah. So for us at Gold Squadron, we've been running league now since even before I even started X-Wing. Like, it's been a thing. And you guys covered a lot of the bases, you know. Having an X-Wing league builds your player base. It gives a organized way in order to play that might not necessarily be the most competitive, but it at least makes it in an organized fashion in which players have something like a goal in mind or something when they come. It's not just random pickup games. Now, I'm not saying that there's not value to random pickup games, but a lot of times what I see on like certain kind of like random Facebook posts in different local areas is you end up getting a lot of people like, where are people playing, and can I find a game on this random day of the week in this area? And like, not having established times kind of creates some weird situations for people not knowing when to come in and play. So if you can get a group together and actually have something organized, you can start to grow your community, because all of a sudden people realize, oh, hey, this group is doing, you know, they're playing on X night or X day, and it's always happening. So having some type of consistent schedule usually helps. So let's jump into the next line of topics here is, how do you know that your area or group is ready to start an X-Wing league? So for myself, when I talked to Ron, because Ron was the one who took it off the ground, there was a core group of players that were always meeting together at a store. They noticed, like, hey, most of us are kind of meeting here on a Wednesday, Wednesday evenings, and there's like 10 of us who are always showing up. Like, every time you have this group of guys that are always showing up, like, hey, why don't we organize something? And that's kind of how the Gold Squadron league got off the ground. And I'm not saying that you need 10 guys, you need a certain amount of people to get started. I would suggest maybe at least 6 to 8 consistently being able to meet at a store, or even someone's home if you don't have a store nearby. I would prefer a store usually, because they can get you guys the kits and things. And I know, Coach, you have a little more experience with that, as you literally are a store owner. What do you guys think?
Yeah. So being a store owner is a little different. Not much, because don't start stores because you want to find other people to play X-Wing with. It's not the greatest idea, but, you know, sometimes it works out. So the way I knew generally for a league, for us, I needed at least like 6 people. I needed, because if you do 4, it's basically just a constant round robin, and you beat up on these two guys all the time, you're going to win. 6 people is actually a comfortable number to start out with. More is obviously better. But if you're going to start your very first league, what I recommend is doing a wins per games played ratio. Because that way you can start a league and people can jump in whenever they want, which is huge.
Right. Let's not go too far into the types of league yet and scoring. I want to hit that later. Just specifically on the, you know, knowing when a group is ready to start a league, or when like the culmination. How do we get this going?
I would say when you don't have to pull out the rules reference or rule book every single game, then you think you got it.
I can say with our group, at least, I think it was once everyone started getting used to how everyone was playing, and once, you know, we were looking for something else to do that was different from the norm, where we would just show up on, say, a Wednesday and just decide, hey, I'm going to play you, or he's going to play him. You know, just we were looking for more things to do in the community. And that's why we are starting our own league now.
Very cool. Very cool. Will, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, actually I have a unique perspective because Clinton does not have a local store. So the league was actually a way to consistently get the players to play on a more organized basis. Instead of just, you know, random pickup games once in a while. And also, because we had newer players there was basically cliques, right? Like I only was playing two guys, and then another guy was only playing two other guys, right? And it was a way to kind of merge those kind of smaller cliques into a larger group so that we were able to play other players in the local area than who we were used to. And that really opened up, I guess, our local meta, because if you were playing an unfamiliar player, you know, you were most people have like the preferred faction at least. And when you're playing somebody new, playing somebody you haven't played very often, you weren't really ever sure what you're going to face. And it made the games a little bit more interesting.
Fantastic. Now let's go ahead and start moving into different types of leagues. Now, just from our preliminary conversations, it sounds like the four of us have set up our leagues a little bit different from each other. And I think the biggest point I want to drive home with this is that none of these answers are the 100% correct answer. It's completely dependent on what you and your players want to do. And what I guess let's start with this. We'll start with Coach. We'll go Coach, Will, Brad. Then Brad, I want you to tell me what you guys are kind of planning for your league, and then I'll end out talking about how we set it up at Gold Squadron. Just giving people different options, understanding how we build it the way we do. Why? And we could even talk about how you plan on doing prizes. Do you do prizes? Does it matter? Like, just go ahead. Talk about your league.
Okay, so like I was saying before, our league is because I generally try to cater our league for inviting new players in, because I have a central location, and that's kind of a nice thing, and not everyone has that, but we have that. So when someone walks in off the street and they go, what are you guys playing? Like, I want the league players to be like, this is X-Wing. This is the greatest game ever made. You should totally get this, and join the league and do this. And they go, whoa. So generally we try to keep our leagues pretty low key. With the 2.0 is adding a little of a thing in there, because you can go second edition or you can go extended. And I've been on the fence. A lot of my regulars want to do extended, but I can also see that the reason for just doing a second edition league. So basically what I think I'm going to do is it's going to be an alternate. We'll do extended, second edition, extended, second edition. But the way I run my league is I like to be able to have the opportunity to join anyone in at any moment. So we do ours kind of based on a wins per average games played kind of a deal, with a little bit of a handicap system that we've developed a little bit over the years. A lot of my guys are probably going, I've never seen this, because they don't know about it. I do. So sorry, Kyle. But league is basically for us because we always have our Sunday night tournaments anyway, our Sunday afternoon tournaments anyway. So we don't really need to have a league, but I think it's just, it's another way for players to gauge how far they've come and how far they're going. So it's a really nice way to set the bar, go for the bar, and make yourselves a better player in our store. It's not so much for, I want to just find people to play the game with. It's, they know we're there and we're all trying to get a little better to try to get, cause we're a traveling group and we try to kind of push ourselves a little bit, try to get up to that next level. That's what our leagues kind of bring out is, ultra practice, I guess.
Will, how do you have your setup?
Well, we, like I said, we were just wrapping up. We had set it up to where we had weekly matchups and we had weekly scenarios. Sometimes they would be, for example, no upgrades, which was fairly difficult. Another one, we were using the community-based objectives as a scenario to play. And I think that kind of opened up the possibilities and for list building, being able to get out of the kind of first edition meta and kind of block out some of those more powerful builds because they just wouldn't work in the particular format of the week. And the structure, we did allow it. We had some troubles at first about some players dropping. So we kind of had like a little preseason at first. But then once we had a core group of guys who were fairly committed and were able to get in a weekly game, that's all we were asking of. Like I said, you had a pairing posted and the scenario, and then yours kind of, unfortunately, like I said, we don't have a specific place to meet, like a game store, but you'd be able to communicate with this person, your matchup, and find a specific time to do it. It was fairly lax. You didn't need to do it within that specific week, but we kind of gave about, I say we, by the way, it's actually Mitch Maddie, one of the what do I want to say, founders of the Clinton kind of community outside of myself, has put this all together. And he's been doing a pretty good job of getting that information out and making sure that people are recording their games as well. And we're, like I said, we're about to wrap up. We're going to go into like a top four cut, I think. I got some interesting ideas we've been working out of how to see how that cut ends up going. We're thinking about maybe round robin or so to get a couple more games in. And then it has evolved into, we're going to do a second edition league here soon. But we're going to keep the scenarios that seem to have gone over fairly well. Like I said, to kind of spice up each week and really get some of the newer players to kind of hone in their list building skills and kind of get some feedback from their opponents about, you know, what worked and what didn't work. And everyone's kind of able to basically grow as a player. And you kind of see that throughout the season, being able to get that feedback and kind of grow from each game as well.
And Brad, what are you guys kind of looking at for your new emerging league?
Yeah, actually, Evan just sent me the info on what he's worked on so far. And it looks like we're having about four terms, which he's recalling it. And each term is 2 weeks, 2 weeks each. So it looks like we'll be able to play in that those 2 week sessions, and then we'll add points up. Through he has win a game, lose a game, 3 points to winner. And if you lose, you still get 1 point. Playing a new opponent is 1 point. Fly a new pilot is 1 point. Flying a new ship is 1 point. And then playing at our local store is also 1 point. And then it looks like we have a to-be-announced tournament at the right at the very end. So I guess that this will be my first league and most of the people that play in Dubuque's first league. So I'm excited to see actually what happens.
I really like that idea with you get a point for playing somebody new.
Yeah.
We did a similar thing for our Magic the Gathering League where we called them friendship points, to where if you played everyone in the league, you got it was the same thing. You got an extra point. And if you played everyone, you got like 10 points or something like that. So it really drove people to try to play everyone.
That's awesome. So for Gold Squadron, our league, we have a pretty big group that meets. I would say on average, we can have anywhere from 15 to 20 people showing up at Pastimes Comics and Games is where we play at. And the core group of players, the tournament players, we noticed this trend where we're basically always ending up at the top of the league with what we were doing before. So we created what we're calling a ranked league. So essentially when you sign up, you can either sign up as a veteran player or a squad member. And what happens is a veteran player versus everybody, doesn't matter what you do. If you play a game, you get 3 points. Okay. You play a game, you get 3 points. One thing also is that the games do have to be played at Pastimes to count. We use a central location because we do have a large group, so they have to be played at our store. You get 3 points for playing the game. Myself as a veteran, if I beat another veteran, I get 2 points, so I can max out at 5 there. If I beat a squad member, it's only 1 point. Now, we don't do schedules because of the just kind of how the people roll in. Like, nobody really comes in at the same time. I'm the most consistent person. Like, I'm always there at 4 o'clock setting up the stream. Like, I'm like the only person who's there always at the exact same time. And what that creates for us is the flexibility that people need if they need to come in later early. You have that. And it also creates this safe space for squad members, because now veteran players aren't trying to, trying to snipe points by going after weaker players, because you could end up behind if you're just always playing squad members. Now, there is an incentive for squad members on beating up on veterans. If I'm a squad member, I beat up on a veteran, I get 3 points for that win. Okay, so sometimes when we start getting towards the end of our league and that somebody wants to try to get some points, you see the squad members start getting poached start poaching the veterans. They're like, all right, Dion, Francois, I need a game. I don't care if I lose. I just want to win. And having some fun with that. And what we do is we also built in flexibility for people who can't make it every week. So our leagues last for 2 months, essentially. Now, sometimes we make it a little longer if we have like a lot of days off. For instance, like November, right? November, there's several, like Wednesday, obviously there's Thanksgiving, but there's a couple other big things that happen where just like Wednesdays just are bad. That's when we usually meet. Anyway, so it lasts for 2 months. It's a $15 fee, and we put that fee towards the prizes and championship week, which is usually week 8. We also take a part of that money and we buy everybody food. So it's this like this celebration of like, yay, we played together, let's eat. And then we take our top four from both the veterans and the squad members, and you do that mini tournament, the top four and the final, to see who was the league champion. There's some more details within all that, but that's the general idea of how it works out. It's worked really well for us. We've gotten a lot of new players. I remember the other thing I wanted to add. What about brand new people who don't want to pay to play? That's fine. So as a league leader, it's one of my jobs is if somebody brand new comes in and plays, they've never played before, they are scored as a squad member. Now, they don't have to fill out a league sheet, but if the person's in the league and they lose or win against this person, they still have to fill it out. So And as a squad leader, they say, Dion, how do you rank this person? I say, it's a squad. Now, if like Tyler Tippett rolls in to our store and plays, I'm labeling him a veteran, right? Like there's, I'll ask the people, how long have you been playing? You know, what do you do? I'll just get some information and determine how to score that in those gray areas. But the most important thing that we wanted to do was make sure that anybody can play anybody, that we had flexibility, which I think I may have skipped that part. We only take your score from the best 4 weeks out of eight. Now it scales depending on if we had any missed weeks, but that makes it so that, you know, if you have to take your kids to the doctor one day, or you're going to be out of town or something like that, you don't get penalized for not playing as long as you've made it to at least 4 weeks in the cycle. Now, one thing I'm going to do in the description of this video and podcast is all of the league, the links, all of that stuff, that's completely open to the public. You can find it on goldsquadronpodcast.com. Just steal it if you want to. The score sheet is in there. The Excel, like it's not Excel, Google Sheets. Go ahead, rip it off if you want to. It's absolutely, we just want people to play. So that's what's important for us.
I really like that idea, Dion. The whole veteran slash squad member kind of a thing. I think that's a lot of, I think that's very cool. I'm gonna steal the heck out of that one.
Go for it.
That's neat.
Yeah,
we tweak it a little bit, but yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, so it kind of, remember how you were talking about your handicaps? That's how we decided to manage the lower ranked player versus higher ranked player. And the other thing we do have built in there is we do track win percentages.
We do too.
Right, we keep track of that. So if somebody's a squad member and they just clean house, right? And you go, all right. I think it's time for you to bump up. So we do adjust people's levels. And going into second edition, for instance, there's a couple guys who, you know, who aren't doing so great in second edition. And the biggest thing for me is that I need to make sure people are having fun and being successful. So, for instance, if we go through this entire second edition league and somebody has like zero wins, I'm going to be like, all right, we're going to drop you down to squad member. And I want you to find some success here before we take you back up to veteran, because we want to make sure people are having fun. We don't want to throw people in the deep end. And the other thing is just making sure that whoever comes in our doors, we want them to be welcome. And I think all of us can agree that anybody who wants to play this game is absolutely welcome. And specifically at our group at Gold Squadron is a lot of people ask, like, oh, you have league night. I guess I can't show up. No, show up. It's really open play with an integrated league. Like, it doesn't, I'm going to stress that again. It doesn't matter whether or not you're in the league. Just come play. That's what matters. Just come play.
Yeah, it's the competitive side of it that really draws people in, is at least for my newbies. They're transferring in from other games, or they're brand new and they're seeing a bunch of 30-plus-year-old guys just sitting around, pushing around plastic spaceships, and they're going, what's going on here? And we're like, this is kind of hardcore, you know. but at the same time, I always say I could teach the game 15 minutes, but it's a lifetime to become a master of it. So that really intrigues a lot of people. So, definitely hop in whenever you can.
Go ahead.
Dan, I was going to ask you about your guys' draft. You had done a draft. Is that part of your X-Wing League, or is that a separate thing?
No, yeah. So that actually was you're so good at transitions, Will. You just knew where I was going with this. So another option you have is alternate formats. So one thing we did, we've actually done it twice for our league, is we took one of our 2-month span and we created a draft. Now, I will say that the legwork for this was done almost 100% by Ron when it comes to setting up the draft. So we actually made booster packs, we'll call them booster packs, of pilots and of upgrades, and we did a Rochester draft style where you pick one, pass the pack, pick one, pass the pack, and you built your list from that. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. You had a lot of interesting and creative list building things that can go on. We specifically decided to make it so that you could cross faction. So that was a lot of fun. We did put some regulations in that, but it's just, it's really season to taste. Communicate with the people that you play with to determine what's going to be good for you guys. But yeah, thank you for reminding me about the draft. That was one we did. We also did an achievement league. And Will, I know you said you were talking about that kind of thing. And in the achievement league, we kept our regular scoring for wins and losses, but we added extra things. So it was like, fly this ship. And usually it would be a ship, for instance, that, you know, wasn't seeing very much play. Put this in your list, get an extra point. Win a game with that list, get 2 points. And you opened up this group of players that like to tinker with lists and really gave them a place to thrive, because I would end up making about, I would say, 10 possible achievements for a week. And then my architect people would look at this and go, huh, how can I get all 10 in one list? And they would try to build that. And that built some really cool combos. It was just a ton of fun. And you make them ridiculous, right? You make, like, survive a game with like a single haul, roll, you know, quadruple crits, natties. Like, there's all kinds of ways you can go about doing achievements, whether they're things you actually do or are by luck. There's lots of options, but it just depends on your guys and girls, excuse me. I'm trying to think what other options.
I have a question.
Go for it, Brett.
I was wondering what the player base is out in, like, the Chicagoland area versus where Coach is and where Will is. And like I said, with my group, we only have about 15 players, and that obviously makes a difference in how we run our own league. I was just curious on the numbers you're looking at.
So, like, for my store or, like, in the Chicagoland area?
For, like, your league that you're running, like, how many players are usually consistent to be actually there?
So because we have now, I say we range from 15 to 20 in store, depending on how it goes from week to week. Now we have more than not everybody participates in the league. I would say 15 to 20 shows up. I would say about. I can just go look real quick. I have the technology sitting at my computer.
He has the technology.
And I could tell you exactly how many people are participating this month or this session.
Look at that website. My goodness.
Isn't it beautiful?
Jeeper socks.
They can see my screen, people who are listening live. That's why they don't know that you can see my screen.
I forget they can't see your screen.
So that's supposed to be highlighted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We have 10 people currently signed up for veterans, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 people signed up as squad members. This go around.
That's pretty good.
So, okay. So 20 people signed up, but if you actually go to our website and look at it, you could see the list of players. I actually underestimated. I said 15 to 20. I guess we have almost up to 30 people who show up to Pastimes for Games. So that's where we land as a store. Brad, does that answer your question, Brad?
Yeah, it's just over here in Ohio. I mean, Iowa. We have that privilege, you know, to have, you know, get that many players. So, I mean, we have to actually structure it a little differently.
Exactly.
For me over here, it's a little different because X-Wing's big here. It's just you got to go find them.
Mm-hmm.
And when the game came out, there was no local store. There was like one store in Sioux City, but they were not into the competitiveness. They weren't into that. So, like I said, when I started my store, I based my store off of competitive gaming. And that just, like, moths to a flame is just they came. And a lot of them were Magic players. A lot of them were not X-Wing players. I basically had to drag them kicking and screaming into X-Wing. And now it's just like, it's my moneymaker. It's bigger than life. I would say on any given Sunday, we have from 8 to 12 players on average. I would say our league will be up to 20 people rotating in and out. But I would say, and it's, I mean, these guys are that are driving from 15, 20 to 30 minutes away. Now, you know, in a city, it's the same thing. Only here, it's you're taking gravel or you're, it's a straight shot on the highway. It's no traffic, but it's still, it's all these little towns around me have like one or two guys in them. And then those one or two guys go back home and they find their neighbor and then they pick it up. And then all of a sudden they got three guys coming in, and it just grows like that because not a lot to do out here in Ohio. So, you know, X-Wing's the next best thing. That's where we're at. We're constantly growing in players just because we have so many X-Wing players. It's the snowball effect. You start with four and then all of a sudden you go to eight. Well, then eight turns into, you know, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger because there's more people, there's more games being played in the store.
Right.
And it's the dominant game at the store. So more people get into it.
Yeah.
So for me, so Clinton is north of the Quad Cities, Bettendorf, Davenport, Moline, and Rock Island. And we originally were trying to incorporate other towns into our league. And unfortunately, that didn't end up logistically working because they're approximately like 40, 45 minutes away. So we had to kind of downsize to just Clinton and DeWitt, which is only about 20 minutes away or so. So most of our players live within roughly this kind of 20-minute radius of Clinton. And that was with that kind of reduction going down to players who could meet up consistently. We're floating at 9 or 10 currently. And that is about the perfect number to make sure that we're able to get a long season. Because we play each individual player, we're like assigned a player to play each week. That allowed our season to go almost about 2 months or so. And
I was going to say 10 is almost the perfect number.
Yeah. Yeah. It, and it allows for that kind of end of league kind of smaller tournament. We're going to, like I said, probably about a top four round robin feels about right.
Yeah.
And being able to, like I said, it was kind of an unfortunate ordeal because, like I said, the people who are traveling far weren't able to make as many games, so they had to opt out of the league. But once we got to know,
you get to know the people really well too.
Yeah, and because we're fairly close, the Quad Cities does have its own kind of like community itself that goes to Games Plus in Davenport, and that is their kind of central location. And that way those kind of local players were able to meet up, and we kind of directed those players who are too far to travel to like, well, here's a more local location that you can meet up at. But once we got to just the local players, we found a lot of consistency in the matchups and getting games in as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many options. And I think, you know, you hear us talking about our individual like cities and our stores, and it really comes down to find a group of people and figure it out. Talk about it. Usually it takes there's usually a figurehead who says, like, you rally around this person. So you usually know who that person is. What's their name? Tell me. You know who it is, person who's listening at home or watching live. Okay, you know who it is. You
Kyle.
Right? And you rally around them and say, "All right, we want to start a league. Let's talk about it." And then you build from there. So even in just our short conversation, we talked about a bunch of different types of leagues, and there's a couple that we didn't hit. I made a list as we were talking here and added to what I had down. So we talked about schedule-based leagues where you make sure you play, you know, every person in the league or X number of times. We have leagues that have a central location, and we have leagues that don't have a central location. You have objectives, which Will was saying that you guys use the objective format that was created for first edition to do a league. You have win percentage, which is what Coach uses. You have custom builds where you use, especially now with the new FFG app and how that's like a thing now, you have different type of building restrictions. You could definitely do those kind of things. You have draft league, achievements, ranked, which is what Gold Squadron does, open play. You don't even have to have, you know, scoring if you don't want to for your league. You can have tournament integrated things where it affects how a tournament is part, like a tournament could be a part of your scoring, or there's some cities where they just, like, I think it's the Twin Cities in Minnesota, where they literally take points from like every X-Wing thing that happens in their city, and it goes to a peak. I don't know all the information on that, but you see them if you're ever on the Minnesota X-Wing site, that it all can come to a head like that. So yeah, there's lots of different types of leagues. One that we didn't cover was quick build leagues. Now, as second edition comes out, we're going to have more of these quick build cards come out. One thing in my experience that I will say is if you're trying to attract new players, that you want to try to keep it as simple as possible to try to make it as friendly to as many people. Like, if you make, I will say that when we did our draft league, mind you, there was a lot of people who enjoyed it, but there was definitely, we didn't have 20 people signed up for that league. We maybe had 10, because not everybody wanted to participate in that, because some people shy away from the alternate formats. Like, there's, talk to the people, figure out what you want to do. I'm just going to say I'm talking in circles there, but I think that's just really important to,
yeah, but you're never going to please everybody.
No, like, you're not.
It does not, for league organizers, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to make everyone happy.
Nope. You can try.
Impossible.
but you have to try. Like,
have to try, give it your best, do some research before you just throw it together. I mean, it doesn't even need to be a lot, just a little bit of research. But yeah, you're not going to make everyone happy all the time. But definitely please do, because leagues are one of the best parts of this game. Leagues are so much fun.
Oh, and I guess somebody in chat, thank you. I did not know that this existed. I guess
You didn't know about the pre-builds?
No, I didn't know that they released them for all the ships.
Yeah.
I'm assuming these are probably on FFG site. I will say, like, our players are not into the quick builds, which is why I haven't spent time focused on them. So
they're right next to the tournament regulations.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Ours in Dubuque, they're not really, you know, into that either. So.
Yep. It's completely dependent on your player base. So, you know, is there anything else we want to round out this conversation about leagues? How, when, why? Did we hit all the points?
Again, I just want to stress that there is a, if you're going to do a league, you have to have the guy in charge of the league. Like, do not start a league where it's just like, hey, we're all going to do a league. And then your Facebook group page is just going insane because nobody has any organization, and someone's got to make a simple Google Doc and just write up the rules, write up what kind it is, just the simple rules so everyone's on the same page. That is the foundation of any good league. Number two, have fun. Jeez, just have fun with it. Don't get bent out of shape. Just have fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to add, have a loose objective for your league. Is your league in preparation for a competitive events your group is trying to attend later on in the season? Is your league to introduce new players to your community? Is it to retain the current players that you have? And once you find that goal of your league, then you can kind of start determining which of these types of leagues you would, or excuse me, which type of league would work best for your goal.
Great points. Great points. Yeah. So if you want league, make it. If you build it, they will come.
They build. That's one of the greatest Ohio sayings ever.
It is.
Yeah. That baseball field in Ohio.
Oh man, I'm not. I for those of you who are watching, yeah, I'm gonna put the blooper at the end. I kind of have to because it's been referenced a bunch of times.
Come on, man.
I have to put in the beginning. All right, fine. I'll put it like, yeah, okay. I'll put it in the beginning. Ah, oh, God.
Just don't even edit it. It's totally fine.
Yeah, just leave it. Just OCX the crap out of this one.
And I guess one last thing that I want to throw in there, and I know, Coach, you are a store owner, but I'm going to talk about the way kind of some of the stores work in Chicago because maybe it's a little bit different. So our league works really closely with our store. Now, our store owner doesn't have anything to do with the scoring, the way we organize it at all, but he's in 100% support of what we do, and he's like, hey, if you have the money for the kits, get me the money, and we'll make sure you have whatever you need. So I do suggest if you do have a central location where you meet or a store owner that's willing to get you the kit so that you can make that as part of your prize support, just reach out. You'll be surprised at who would be willing to help you out. If you say, hey, I want to start an XWE league, do you have access to these kits? This is what I want to do. Make sure going with a plan. Don't just be like, hey, can I buy an X-Wing kit from you? Like, that's probably not the best way to go about it. But have a plan. Go in. Talk to your store owner. The worst thing they say is no. And try somebody else. And don't be afraid also to make your own prizes. I'm going to shout out Curl Paw Creatives, right? Like, they do custom stuff. You can get like your championship range rulers or acrylics. You can get alternate art cards from Gold Squadron Podcast if you want to. Shameless plug, it's my show. I'll do it what I want.
You can get our templates as well.
That's
they make
right.
Excellent prizes.
They do. Actually, I totally forgot to mention that they were on the notes, but patrons, we'll start with patrons first. You guys get a discount. So make sure you go to patreon.com and in the posts. Sorry, you can't find it if you're in the public. You can only see it if you're logged in on Patreon. There's a code to get a secret amount of dollars off. So go take a look at that. Everybody else, they are available for pre-order. And there's a limited number of them. We started with having 60-ish available. And I would say more than half are already gone. So, we're just in pre-orders. So,
hey, you can give away custom-made glasses too.
Yeah, yeah. Check this. Where's my? Here's my.
Dylan, you still got yours, don't you?
Yeah, it's right here. It's my shelf. This is in every single one of my shows. It's in the background. I keep my my coins and like my shinies in there. There it is, right there.
Yeah, Brad.
Brad
was
made that
kind enough to offer those up. Brad, did you give those to your opponents? I know me and Dion got one.
I gave one to every single one of my opponents at Worlds.
Nice. We raffled one off at the Goldies as well. They were a huge hit.
Nice, man.
Yeah, we did. So
yeah, so any swag.
It's going to be obsolete in about a year, but you know.
What's going to be obsolete?
It's because it only has three factions on it.
Oh, no, it's fine. You know, it's all right. This is vintage, baby.
Vintage.
I also gave them to all the judges too.
Yeah.
Oh, and thank you, judges.
Hearts.
That's a little PSA from Chico.
But yeah, having some type of prizes, like people like to play for something, even if it's small, and it's fun.
Guys, acrylic is cheap, and we all go batty for acrylic.
Correct.
I never thought in my entire life a set of acrylic templates would drive me up the wall when I get them.
Yeah.
Because I haven't gotten them yet.
Yeah, it's and I would suggest also participation prizes if you can swing that. For our league, we definitely make sure everybody on championship week, everybody gets something. Like, nobody goes home empty-handed. Doesn't matter how small it is, but we'll make sure everybody gets something. And that's maybe not something you can do right away, but as something as you grow, you want to make sure to encourage those newer players. Sometimes people get offended when I say lower level players, but it's just a truth, right? You have players who are just starting and they want to get better. Keep them encouraged. Be like, hey, here's this promo. Come on. I know that in your guys' binder, even already for second edition, you have triples, quadruples, quintuples of alternate art cards. Just give them away. You're not going to use them. You're not going to use five copies of a unique thing.
So
use what you got.
We'll do a little inside baseball here, or a little insider trading. Maybe not insider trading, but if you go to your local store, or even if you go to a store owner that's like 30, 40 minutes away, and they even are remotely able to order anything X-Wing, just go to them and say, hey, work up a price for the store kit for me. Please order me one. They'll most likely order you one and make some good money off it. So yeah. Don't hesitate asking your store owner if they can just get you one. Like, hey, I run a local league and I know we don't play in your store, and you know, I wish we could, but we're too far away. Believe me, they will not care. Income is income, guys. So they just put down, here's X amount of money, or ask them how much they need for it, and just say, get me one every quarter. Just write me down, just like a pull list for comic books. Just say, please just order me one or two. As a store owner, we're more than welcome to do that. So
yeah,
we're not limited to how many we can get. I mean, I've not stretched the limit on it, but we can order multiples of kits. And I don't think FFG is going to turn anyone down for growing the game out past a local store. I think they're all for the people that play on their kitchen tables.
Yeah.
So just go talk to your store owner. I guarantee you they're more than welcome to accommodate you.
Yeah, we buy several copies of every kit to make sure that everybody gets everything every time. Yeah. And like we do have now, like that's a great idea, Coach. Reach out to a store even if you don't play it, or if you're at a local store, I mean, you could, like our store, for instance, just gives us the kit at cost, but like we buy all of our ships there. Like they're making money from us. There's a lot of different. Every store is different. Make sure you approach them and figure it out. Bradley and Will, any closing thoughts?
No, we covered a lot.
We did.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
All right, fantastic. Well, it's time for Vader to ask, what have you done with those plans? And Lord Vader, I'll tell you that the Minock Open is coming, okay? Registration
boo.
For them. Don't boo them.
Boo.
They're my friends, too. Don't boo them. Okay? Stop it.
Yay, competitive X-Wing.
All right, so registration for the Minock Open is open. And still, even. And the event is happening November 3rd and 4th. Gold Squadron Podcast is the official stream, so make sure you tune in November 3rd and 4th. And then, Bradley, you have a Toys for Tots event coming up that you wanted to plug.
Yeah, just to give a quick explanation of it. Last year, the day before Thanksgiving, we held a tournament called the Turkey Shootout. It was our first one ever. I mean, we all just pretty much started the X-Wing addiction, I guess. And it was a tournament where every player would bring one small base ship. It was about, then you could use about 43 points. It was a best out of three. So you wouldn't just play one game and it's over. You would actually have to beat your opponent twice. So it gave, you know, just in case there was a mix up or something, you still had to prove that, you know, you're good enough to beat that player. With that being said, next month on November 10th at Comic World and Games in Dubuque, Iowa, we will be holding our second annual Turkey Shootout. And we decided this year we're going to do it for the Toys for Tots. Now, if you're not familiar with the Toys for Tots, it's the organization that supplies toys for Christmas for you know, kids that possibly their families can't afford afford it, and it all actually goes all to like your local area. So everything that we get should stay in Dubuque. If they get any access, I think it goes to other towns around Dubuque. But it's going to be a 2.0 event. It's going to be one small ship or medium bay ship. So we're upping it this year.
Nice.
And yeah, you get 64 points to build. You still bring three rocks or debris. The special thing about this is you put the rocks down and they stay for the entire best out of three. You don't move them anymore after that. So, and then the entry fee for the event is free, but we do have a suggested toys for Tot's donation.
There you go. I like that. That's fantastic.
So
I have a question of the points. How did you end up on the 60, would you say 4 points?
Yeah, 64. We figured what we did last year, and then we just converted it to 2.0.
Times two, baby.
That's all we did. Yeah.
Awesome.
So it must have been 32 points last year.
So make sure that if you're in that area, you go to this
Comic World and Games.
There, Comic World and Games. Bradley, send me the link. That way I can put it in the description and all that. You can actually just dump it in the notes, and I'll get that in there.
Okay.
So, gentlemen, I want to say thank you so much for joining me tonight. This has been great, and thank you everybody who watched live and watches in the future. So if you want to watch live X-Wing events, Gold Squadron Podcast, we do them all the time. Make sure you go to twitch.tv/Gold Squadron Podcast. Follow us, and if you're a Twitch Prime subscriber, don't forget to hit that button every 30 days. It's literally free money. I have not found anywhere else in the world where you can click a button and give somebody free money that actually costs you nothing. So please, thank you. And YouTube. So we talked about it earlier. If you missed it, we have a new series called X-Wing Quick Tips. That's happening every Monday. We're posting one of those. And this last one is called Zero is Not the Same as One, or is it maybe the other way around? Go ahead, check it out. It's literally like 2 minutes and 53 seconds. The idea is that it's tidbits of X-Wing information in under 5 minutes. So go ahead, click on that. If you haven't watched, if you're watching live, go watch it now. It's good, I promise. And it's a lot of fun. Editing some fun stuff in there. It's not just me talking at you for 5 minutes. It's some funsies in there. And then last but not least, and most importantly, thank you so much to our patrons. You guys are the largest group of our supporters and the people who really drive the Gold Squadron podcast content. If you want to become a part of that group and get that awesome swag we showed earlier and talked about earlier, the Cassian Duchess 2-card set, Trandoshan Slaver, and a mystery card, which Will knows because he saw the sketch today, but he's...
Oh, it looks good.
He can't say anything. So,
oh, no. You're going to fly this ship, trust me, especially once you have the alt art, for sure.
There you go. So thank you, everybody, who's taking the time to follow us. And special thanks to all those people we talked about earlier when we said your guys' names and who became a patron this last week. So any final shout-outs before we sign off here, gentlemen?
Okay. Wednesday night, check out OCX pregame show with Luke Carrington. That's it. That's all I'm doing.
That's all you
deserve it, but I'm giving it to him. And then conveniently after that, you can check out the OCX Radio Live
there you
podcast.
Go. You see,
on YouTube.
You can have two windows open. You can watch the league night and OCX at the same time.
Windows. I was just going to say, you could watch how to paint the ships that you're watching on the side screen. There you go.
Streamception. All right, guys. So for Brad, Coach.
Wait, I got shout outs.
Oh, my bad. I thought it was silence. Wow. I thought I was ready. Ah.
He was so close.
Go for it.
I want to give a shout out to Mitch Maddie. He's been running our league and he's doing a great job. And just a small tidbit for all those players who are like, man, I wish I was in a league. Search on Facebook. For your town and X-Wing, go to your local game store, start asking anybody about X-Wing leagues. You will find people to play and hopefully get a league together.
Brett?
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to all the Dubuque players and you guys for having me on.
All righty. So for Brad, Coach, and Will, and the entire state of Iowa, my name's Dion Morales. Gold Squadron, out.